in Chicago. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. Here you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first... Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But Daddy...
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. Today is Tuesday. It is Debate Tuesday. And I've invited as my guest a frequent guest here on the Inside Scoop. His name is Mike Lane. He's a president of Intellifant Strategies. That's a mixture of intelligence and elephant. Provides intelligence to elephants, in other words, to members of the Republican Party, and tries to get them elected. We don't agree on much, but we do agree that we have a pleasant debate, and that's why I'm always back inviting him here on the Inside Scoop. Welcome again, Mike.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
There are a number of issues in the news. The three main issues, I think it's clear, are the Roberts nomination, the London bombing, and what I've deemed Traitorgate, the leaking of classified information about a CIA agent as a dirty trick from the White House. But there are lots of other stuff going on in the news, some stories that didn't get much press. I want to mention a few of them here, and then Mike and I will pick up and debate as many of them as we can get to. One of them was radio host Michael Graham on WMAL, who said that Islam is a terrorist organization and the United States is at a war with Islam. He didn't say radical Islam. He didn't say some Muslims. He didn't say Al-Qaeda. He said Islam in general. That's caused quite a stir. Obviously, I think that's way excessive. We'll hear what Mike has to say about that. But then there's also Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum, Senator Santorum, is making the grand tour. He's in real trouble. He's almost certainly going to lose in 06. He's behind 11 points. And so he's trying to make nice. He was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart last night. To my regret, I don't think Jon Stewart challenged him very much. But he also said some things on CNN which were interesting, particularly that he opposed what's called the Griswold decision. In other words, he thinks it's perfectly constitutional for Congress or a state to prohibit consenting adults from using contraception. Very interesting. In Korea, we have the fact that we are now directly talking with the North Koreans. This is exactly what Kerry suggested 2 years ago in the election. Apparently, we are now doing it quietly. Other news, not getting much press. The Pentagon refuses to release photos from Abu Ghraib that a Republican senator says shows rape and murder. I want to talk with Mike, finds out if he agrees that those photos shouldn't be distributed. And lastly, Italy is putting out warrants for six CIA officials who sent people to be tortured abroad, and I want to know if Mike supports that. So there's a lot to talk about, and as always, you are part of the discussion. You just pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Mike, I'd like to start, if I could, with the comment by Michael Graham that I just read in the newspaper. You were telling me you actually heard the broadcast or heard the broadcast afterwards?
Well, I, what I heard was Michael Graham's broadcast today. After the article appeared in the papers this morning about how he had riled up the Council on American Islamic Relations, a group called CAIR CARE, they had called his radio station and requested that he be reprimanded or in some other way told not to continue this this kind of dialogue. And so I decided after reading the article to listen to it this morning. And he actually had a representative of CARE on the air with him this morning for about a half an hour as they debated the whole thing. So it was very, very interesting. And
I'm glad that he did. I mean, I certainly think that's the right response to argue with them on air. But go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to disagree with your assessment that his comment was probably somewhat over the top.
Somewhat?
As measured by any yardstick of responsibility might be.
Somewhat, Mike?
It was really very provocative.
Okay, can I get you to remove the word somewhat, and can we just agree that it was over the top?
Well, let's put it in context of what's talk radio all about. Talk radio never claims to be responsible. They never claim to be newsworthy. They claim that they are an entertainment source. And in this particular case, I think that if you read the entire article, you'll find that Mr. Graham's radio show's ratings have been sinking and sinking fast. And what he was trying to do was to get his name into the media, get his thing onto the talk shows so that people will start listening in and see if he can boost his ratings up. Since you and I are talking about it, might we suggest that perhaps his strategy is succeeding?
Well, Mike, let's say that I think you're probably right, that he used this extreme, and I would call it over the top without the adjective somewhat, language in order to increase ratings. I think you and I can agree, can't we, that that's not the right thing to do?
I would not have used those words. Well, I take that back. If I was if I had a nice gig like yours is, Mark, and I was sitting there facing termination for lack of ratings, I'm not sure how I would react to it. I'm glad your ratings are better than his, apparently.
But that's the problem with talk radio.
But facing a crisis, I would not use those particular words, and I would suggest to other people, including Mr. Graham, that he could have selected his words a lot better.
But see, that's the problem with talk radio. I mean, I do try to be responsible. I have used strong language myself that I think is provocative. I've used the word Traitorgate, which some of my listeners think is too strong. I don't. I don't know whether you do. We can get back to that after the break. But I do think that one of the problems with talk radio is they're not being responsible. They're not saying what they truly believe. And what people do is they listen to people like Rush Limbaugh. They listen to Michael Graham. And then they start repeating it. Yeah, yeah, all Muslims are terrorists. Islam is a war against we have a war against Islam. And Islam is a terrorist organization. And I think that actually this causes great harm to Americans as well as Muslims. And I want to get back to the specifics of that right after the break. If you want to call in, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Mike Lane. He is the president of IntelliFence Strategies, and this is Debate Tuesday. All topics are valid. Just call in 877-528-8255, and you can add your 2 cents, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We're talking about, at first, Michael Graham's comments. He's a talk show host. And he said that Islam is a terror organization. And here's how he justified it. This is a direct quote from his program. He said, if the Boy Scouts of America had 1,000 scout troops and 10 of them practiced suicide bombings, then the Boy Scouts of America would be considered a terrorist organization. Huh? If 1% of Boy Scouts were a terrorist organization, then we would consider all Boy Scouts a terrorist organization? Does that make any logical sense? I don't think so. I can name members of Aryan Nations or the Christian Identity Movement. I can name radical Jews in Israel that support Kahani that want some pretty extreme stuff. But to label all for the actions of 1% clearly is wrong. I mean, you agree with me, right, Mike?
Well, again, I heard the debate this morning between Michael Graham, the talk show host in question, and a representative of the Council of on American Islamic Relations. And what Mr. Graham said, which he can't say in a soundbite that's taken, and I won't say out of context, but taken without any of the other context in a newspaper article, is that you have a poll that was just conducted by, I think it was either the UK Times or the London Times, where 27% of Muslims in London said that if there was a person that lived next to them that they knew about that was in a cell and they knew for a fact they were about to carry out a terrorist act, that they would not call the authorities and turn that person in. Now, again, I will freely admit that I think Mr. Graham went over the top with his comments, and he was being provocative for the sake of generating ratings, but his bigger comment or his bigger point was about where is the Islamic community? If they are not going to be unified in their opposition to terror, what else would they like them to call them?
Well, Mike, I haven't seen that poll. In fact, I would like to see it. Maybe you can send it to me afterwards. 27% sounds awfully high and awfully horrible if it is true.
It shocked me too, Mark. But Mike, I have to admit, it shocked me.
But my concern is this. Don't you think that comments like Michael Graham's do their best to increase the 27%? An unprovoked war in Iraq increased the 27%. Don't you think, Mike, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, don't you think Al-Qaeda has more supporters today than it did on September 11th or even September 12th, 2001, that in fact our reactions, instead of just fighting Al-Qaeda, but making it a broader war against Islam, which is how it's seen in the Arab world and also in the European world, who can't understand why we're in Iraq, don't you think we've actually made things worse? We've increased that percentage. I'd be surprised if it is 27% today. If it was 27% 4 years ago, I would suspect it was 2 or 3% then.
Well, I think that I will agree with you that the terrorist community, I won't even say the Islamic community, I will say the terrorist community is a community that is easily provoked, that is easily whipped up, and they are very anxious and willing and accepting to take remarks either in context or out of context and use them for their own purposes to advance their terrorist ideals.
But I'm not just talking about remarks. I mean, don't you think that our actions, the United States action, specifically the unprovoked war in Iraq, has caused more hatred toward America, more radicalization among some Muslims than would be if we hadn't taken that action?
Well, you know, we can get back to debating whether or not the war in Iraq was provoked. I don't think that's tonight's topic, Mark, but the answer is no. I don't think that we have generated more more individuals. Certainly when Newsweek ran with the story that they ran with, there was a good deal of uprising and probably a great deal of recruitment in the terrorist sympathizing community to bring people into the active terrorism. But I don't think the war itself was the issue. There was terrorism worldwide and terrorism in America a long time before the Iraq war.
Let me ask you this. The Pentagon has said it filed an action refusing to release photos it has of Abu Ghraib, some 83 photos, which one Republican senator who saw the photos said are images of rape and murder. I wonder whether there are not some that would say that America's treatment of our, and I'm going to say it, terrorist actions, I think rape or murder of a prisoner in a cell, it's pretty close to terrorism because, after all, he's not a threat while he's a prisoner. Don't you think the fact that the Pentagon isn't showing these pictures, that they're hiding those pictures, to me it's kind of the flip side to those that say the Muslims should condemn terrorism. I strongly think that Muslims should condemn terrorism on behalf. Obviously, I think those 27% are wrong, but I also think Americans need to condemn awful torture, murder even, occurring when we do it and when our government does it. And it seems to me the Pentagon's trying to sweep it under the rug. I want to know if you agree.
Well, Mark, I will be the first one to help you out there and confess that I will absolutely condemn any and all acts of abuse, misconduct, or anything like that by prison guards or anybody over in the war zone right now. Now, there's obviously been some problems at Abu Ghraib. They should not have happened to the extent they did. There is a no-excuse, unacceptable policy in my mind. The people who perpetrated them should be tried, hopefully convicted, and punished accordingly, depending on what their crime was.
Should they release the photos, Mike?
No, they should not.
Really?
Because we've just discussed not more than 3 minutes ago how the terrorist community can take these things either in context or out of context and use them as recruiting methods for new people to join the terrorist cause. I think this is just fuel for their fire, and I would oppose it.
See, here's my view. I think you release the photos, you show you have nothing to hide, and then you roundly condemn the actions from the President of the United States on down and say the people will be prosecuted and say, these do not represent what America is all about. We're showing it to you because we're not hiding anything, and we're going to do our best to make sure this never happens again. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or write in on the internet at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low $29 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 20Television.com and TalkSearch.org.
You're not as alone as brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
What is the most influential time in a child's life? Age 6? 8? 12? Actually, it's between 3 and 8, every afternoon. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to make sure every child has a safe place to go after school. Call 1-800-854-CLUB. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, and welcome back to Debate Tuesday, discussing the issues of the day. I am with Mike Lane, the president of IntelliFence Strategies. We were talking a little bit about Michael Graham, who made the statement that Islam is a terrorist organization. He's, I don't know if he's quite backtracking or not on it. Maybe a little bit, but I think it's a – and Mike actually agrees it's a pretty extreme statement that he shouldn't say. Now, Mike, some people have said that I've said an extreme statement. I have called the outing of CIA agents in order to try to tar Ambassador Joe Wilson, a man trying to tell the truth to the American people about nuclear weapons in Iraq. I have called it Traitorgate because I believe that the people who outed – covert CIA operatives in the administration are traitors to their country, just as Hansen was a traitor or Philip Agee or anyone who would disclose covert CIA operatives for any political purpose, for any purpose whatsoever. And I call it Gate because it's like Watergate. It came from the White House, and I want to know what the president knew and when he knew it. Now, some have said that my language is too provocative, too extreme, somewhat over the top. I don't think so, but I want to know what you think, Mike.
Well, Mark, you're a talk radio host. You don't have to be responsible.
Do you think my language is over the top?
I think it's a trifle beyond what I would go. But I will say this, that it's a serious story. It's a serious issue. It's in the hands of the special prosecutor or special counsel, whatever we call them these days. Mr. Fitzgerald, by all accounts, is fairly nonpartisan. He's a serious lawyer. He's digging, trying to get to the bottom of it. And if, underscore if, it turns out, because we don't know it at this point, but if it turns out that any laws were broken by people in the administration, not only do I think they ought to leave the administration, I think they ought to be prosecuted.
Well, now, it's interesting that you say if laws were broken, because that's, of course, the new standard by George Bush. When this story first came out in 03 and 04, he said he would fire anyone that is caught leaking classified information. And, in fact, he was asked specifically about the person who leaked Valerie Plame, and he said yes, he would fire that person. Now, that's in 03 and 04. Now, just recently, Bush has backtracked and said, well, if crimes were committed, they should be fired. In other words, once a guy is convicted and goes to jail, it's very hard for him to serve as my deputy chief of staff. Do you support, Mike, Bush's backing up and saying, I'm only going to fire them if they break the law, or do you think people in government should have a higher standard than just not breaking the law, but shouldn't be leaking classified information about CIA operatives?
No, there should be a higher standard, Mark. You're exactly right. I'll shock and appall your audience and yourself by admitting that. However,
I like that you're not a hack, Mike. I got to give you credit. I've had Republicans on this show who feel like they have to defend everything the Bush administration does. You don't, and I respect you for it. But go ahead.
I proudly wear the title hack, so don't insult me by saying I'm not one, please. Here's where we really are on Karl Rove or anybody else. Nobody can talk, and I know that if this was a Democratic administration, I might be one of the first people to say, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking? Well, they're not talking because it's the middle of a criminal investigation, and they properly are not talking.
But, Mike, they are talking. The White House isn't officially talking. I mean, you got Scott McClellan 28 times saying, I'm not going to say whether what I said previously that Karl Rove was not involved was true or not, because I can't say. But Karl Rove is certainly talking through his lawyer, is talking a mile a minute. They're putting out all these attacks on Joe Wilson. They're saying Joe Wilson lied. They're saying that Novak told him. Novak saying no, they told him. They're talking off the record in a whisper campaign, Mike. I mean, don't you think that the proper way to go is if Karl Rove has something he wants to say, either he should say it publicly or completely shut up?
Well, certainly anybody who was party to a grand jury investigation has every right to discuss either overtly or covertly what went on in the grand jury investigation. The only prohibition on grand jury testimony is on those people who were not the witness in front of the grand jury. So if it is Karl Rove and or his lawyer and or his friends who are leaking things, that's perfectly acceptable.
But here you have the White House refusing to talk about it. They asked George Bush, they said, when's the last time you talked to Karl Rove about this? And he said, oh, I'm not going to disrupt an ongoing investigation, as if what he said to Karl Rove 10 minutes ago, you know, was related to whether or not a crime was committed 2 years earlier. He's not going to talk about that. And yet, you know, Luskin, Karl Rove's attorney, is giving report after report, trying to spin, trying to say, well, he didn't say her name. He just said Joe Wilson's wife. I mean, don't you think there's a little hypocrisy here? The White House saying, I'm not going to comment, at the same time, is they're using these alternative resources to get the word out?
Mark, you know, sometimes you introduce yourself as a recovering congressional attorney. you may not have been a trial attorney, but you do
understand
the role of a trial attorney is to advocate for his client. I have no problem with what Luskin is doing right now. Let's wait for Fitzgerald's report. Let's wait to see if it implicates Karl Rove or anybody else in the actual leaking of the information that she was an undercover agent.
Mike, we have to go to break. I'll let you finish your sentence when we come back. If you want to call in, 877-528-8255. We'll be back after this.
This is Newsbreak. This morning's launch seemed to be picture perfect. However, NASA now says a piece of tile may have fallen off. It did not seem to have hit anything, but they're analyzing the pictures and video taken during the launch. Japan's nuclear weapons program are underway in Beijing. No breakthrough is reported or expected. British police say they found more evidence linking their four chief suspects to last Thursday's botched attacks on London's subway and a double-decker bus. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed down 17 points at 10,580. NASDAQ was up 9 points to 2176, while the S&P 500 was up 2 at 1231. The Fordham Company wants to build a 115-story, 2,000-foot-high hotel and condo in Chicago that would eclipse the Sears Tower as America's tallest building. More news at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought: change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it. Free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-40.
Best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off. Plus affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7 and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Long airplane. We're 19 times as likely to experience a blood clot in the deep vein.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Today is Tuesday. I'm having a nice debate Tuesday with Mike Lane, president of Intellifence Strategies. If you want to call in and join the debate, you're always welcome to do that. Toll free, 877-528-8255. We appreciate your calls at 877-528-TALK. I had to interrupt you to go to a break. Mike, did you have something more you wanted to say?
I think the last thing I was going to say, Mark, was that, the special prosecutor or counsel, I can never remember what his name is, Mr. Fitzgerald, or his title, he's going to issue a report. And if it turns out in that report, after exhaustive investigation of people testifying extensively under oath, remember that Karl Rove has testified at least three times that we know of, perhaps more, we will find out whether or not he was instrumental in leaking the name of a then covert, if it was a then covert CIA agent, to whomever. It doesn't matter whomever it was. You're not allowed to leak it to the press or anybody else. If it turns out that he's guilty of that, then I believe, as you do, that the president needs to take executive action within his administration and hold people accountable for that.
But let's talk about what we do know, Mike. What we know, because Karl Rove's lawyer said this, and I'm sure if it wasn't true, he'd fire his lawyer and say, you know, that's not what I said, I'm getting a new lawyer. Rove's lawyer admits that he confirmed she was in CIA. He denies that he knew she was covert. But in effect, he told Novak and Cooper and others that this was a CIA agent. Now Rove is no, you know, innocent here. He's not someone who doesn't really know how the CIA works or doesn't realize that people who work for the CIA, that this is secret stuff. Don't you think that this guy, Karl Rove, who has access to all of our intelligence information, and we know for a fact that he's leaking it. Now, again, we can argue over the circumstances of whether it's legal or not. That's sort of a separate issue. But he's admitted to leaking it. He's admitted to going to several reporters and talking quietly in a way to discredit Wilson. Don't you think that this kind of guy shouldn't have access to future classified information, totally apart from the question of a crime? Don't you think a president should be careful and not allow someone who's shown a tendency to leak classified information to even have access to it?
Mark, I have to challenge your premise. We don't know that he has a tendency to leak any classified information. We know that Joe Wilson is his own worst enemy. I mean, he has tripped over his own words and proven himself to be a storyteller of extraordinary capability.
Well, now, wait, I'm not talking about Joe Wilson.
I
mean,
I know that.
It's like to defend Karl Rove, you have to attack Joe Wilson.
This is Rove's strategy. You're assigning Karl Rove's motivations as something to discredit Joe Wilson, and Joe Wilson did a fine job in discrediting himself. He doesn't need Karl Rove's help on that.
No, I actually think Rice and Tenet and the president have all agreed, in fact, that Wilson was right. But that's not my issue here. My question is, Rove has admitted to leaking information. First, they denied it, right? First, McClellan denied that Karl Rove was in any way involved. And now Karl Rove, only because Matthew Cooper was going to be sent to prison, has admitted he was behind it. Okay, the president said originally he would fire anyone involved in this. Now he's backed off to say, you know, just those where it's against the law. Why can't the president say, look, I don't want members of my administration doing leaks and smear campaigns. You know what, Karl Rove, I'm going to let you go, even if you didn't break the law.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Mark. Please do, because I don't read this on a minute-to-minute basis, but I do follow it day-to-day. As near as I can recall, what Karl Rove did was he warned Matthew Cooper off the story. The story he was writing was that Vice President Dick Cheney had sent Ambassador Wilson to Niger to find out whether or not there was an attempt to buy uranium by the Iraqis at that point.
Right.
Now, what Karl Rove did was said, no, don't go there. It was not the vice president. It actually looks like it was the ambassador's wife, who happens to be an employee there at the agency. Didn't mention the fact that she was an undercover agent. In fact, there's substantial discussion as to whether or not she was an undercover agent at the time. Didn't mention her name. Didn't mention anything. Just said, look, your story is going to be wrong. Don't write it that way. Here's what the real story is.
Okay, let's go through this. Didn't mention her name. When you say Joe Wilson's wife, and he's only got one wife, I don't think he's a bigamist, that's kind of a silly argument, right? We can throw that one out.
I didn't know who she was.
You know, I mean, I don't know your wife either, Mike. But if I said Mike Ling's,
you and I are the only two who might not have known who she was.
Now wait a minute.
Apparently, all of social Washington knew who she was.
Well, apparently that's exactly false, and it's very interesting to see that keeps going around. The White House hasn't said that. The CIA hasn't said that. The Justice Department hasn't said that. None of her neighbors have said that. But I guarantee you, Karl Rove is using double super secret background to spread the idea that all of her neighbors knew she was a covert operative, when not a single neighbor has come forward. It's exactly – here's my point, all right? No matter what Wilson did, and I think everything he said is accurate. I think it's clear that Cheney did order it, the whole thing. But no matter what Wilson did, the fact that Karl Rove felt he had to do this on double super secret background, saying, I think I said too much already, if he wants to discredit Joe Wilson – instead of doing a secret whisper smear campaign, why can't he come out before a microphone and say, considering he thought there was nothing wrong with it, Joe Wilson wasn't sent by Dick Cheney. He was sent by his wife, who's an agent of the CIA. If there was nothing wrong with what he had to say, why couldn't he say it publicly?
Well, because it would have been a breaking – if indeed she was a covert agent, which we don't know that, there is some considerable disagreement as to whether or not she was a covert agent. Because
but, Mike, if there's nothing wrong with it –
she had an overseas assignment within the time frame as specified by the statute.
Actually, she did. All the statute only requires that she go abroad within 5 years. And I know – not only do we know that she did that, but the CIA referred it to the Justice Department, who referred it to the special prosecutor. If she hadn't gone abroad in 5 years, I guarantee you neither the CIA nor the Justice Department would have done the referral, but let me get to my main point.
What I read in the Washington Post, and the Washington Post tells me that she hadn't been abroad.
I'd like to see that, though. And Valerie Plame is not allowed to speak by the CIA, so I'd really be curious to see that. I'd like you to send that to me. But here's the larger point: if what Karl Rove was doing was A-okay, perfectly fine, absolutely no problem, not only not against the law, but not an ethics or moral problem at all, why couldn't he do it openly and publicly? And if it was problematic, if it was either breaking the law or at least a moral or ethical violation, you can see why he's doing it secretly. If it was above board, why couldn't he do it publicly?
Well, he was doing it based on what he thought his relationship, I guess, was with the reporter.
Why couldn't he just do it publicly?
We know the reason.
It's because it's a whisper campaign.
He was not going to be the reporter's primary source or anything. What he was doing, I hope we can agree, Mark, was he was waving the Time or Newsweek reporter off the story.
Why not do it publicly? Why not say, you know what, don't if Dick Cheney didn't order Wilson, everyone, nobody should listen to him.
No.
His wife's a CIA operative. She hasn't been abroad in 6 years. It's fine for me to say this. Here's the truth.
I don't think he knew what Valerie's status was.
If he didn't know, then maybe he was committing treason.
He knew that she may have been a covert agent. The answer is no, we don't know that.
But the point is this.
All we know is that he knew she worked at the agency.
Fine.
She may have been a career bureaucrat sitting there at a desk her whole time.
He didn't know that. Before a presidential spokesperson, someone very high up in the White House. He's actually more powerful than a spokesperson. In many ways, he controls the White House. Don't you think before a powerful deputy chief of staff of the President of the United States does a whisper campaign about a CIA operative, he should check to see whether she's covert or not?
Well, I don't think the assumption is that anybody... I mean, the CIA probably has 5% of their total employees that are covert, if that. I mean, it's not a logical assumption to assume he needs to do that. I'll tell you what we really need to do. Mark, we need, as I said before, to wait for the special prosecutor's report to find out what Mr. Fitzgerald has to say, to find out if there are lots of facts, which I suspect that we don't know, that are going to come out in this report. And one of the unknown... Head and ding me for changing the subject on you. One of the unknown facts is, what is Judith Miller hiding? Perhaps she was the person who was spreading this around.
How did she find
know.
Out?
I'm suggesting it, yes. It may be irresponsible.
I'll tell you this.
I don't know what she knew or why she's hiding it.
Mike, I'll tell you this. I had a whole discussion yesterday. You can listen to it in the archives, and all of you listening, RadioInsideScoop.com.
Mark, I'm going to compliment you. I listened to your show last night. I heard it.
Okay. I attacked Judith Miller. I am not a fan of Judith Miller. My guest last night was defending Judith Miller. I think she may have been spreading it around, but then the question is, who told her to begin with? It had to be someone at the White House, and I just want people to call what George H.W. Bush called the most insidious of traitors, those that would disclose CIA operatives. I want people to recognize that someone in the White House fits that bill. We got to take a break. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma you'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com. Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole chiropractors and dentists, there is a discount. This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us, and the whole point of Truckers Benefits. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. If you want to call in and join us on Debate Tuesday, the toll-free number is 877-528-8255. I've gotten some comments on the Internet that the lines are busy. They should be open. Please give it a try. 877-528-TALK. We've been talking with my guest, Mike Lane. He is the president of Intellifence Strategies. He provides political services to Republicans, tries to get them elected. We've been talking about what I have deemed Traitorgate, the fact that someone in the White House disclosed the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson in order to, try to help the president lie to the American people about Iraq getting nuclear weapons. A little bit of perspective. Here's an inside scoop you may not know. On October 2001, just about a month after September 11th, Bush restricted 92 senators, all the senators except those on the Intelligence Committee, and cut off their classified briefings. Prior to September 11th, all 100 senators had access to classified intelligence. After that, 1 month after September 11th, Bush cut that to only the 8 senators on the Intelligence Committee. Now, none of those 92 senators were accused of leaking. None of them were accused of a crime. Karl Rove has admitted leaking. He denies having committed a crime. None of those 92 senators, but Bush cut them off. I think it's time that he do the same for Karl Rove. I do want to move on and talk about Rick Santorum, but Mike, if you have a quick comment on that, feel free.
Well, I think in retrospect here, the final comment is that unless and until Karl Rove is identified as a leaker of classified information, the analogy doesn't work. But let's talk about Rick Santorum.
Well, he admitted, all right, I'll move on. He admitted to leaking the information. He denies that it was against the law, but he doesn't deny the leak. Anyway, I want to talk about Rick Santorum. I saw him last night on Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart disappointed me, I have to say, and I'm a big believer in The Daily Show, by letting Santorum off, I thought, very, very lightly. And I can get to that in a minute, but I want to deal first with his comment on CNN where Aaron Brown did not live. Rick Santorum off lightly. He's going around to all the stations. He's in big trouble, by the way. I let me be the first to predict Santorum will lose in 2006 to Democrat Bob Casey. But one of the things he said is that he disagrees with the Supreme Court decision Griswold v. Connecticut. It's a 1960s decision that says that the government cannot constitutionally prohibit men and women, married couples in their own homes from using contraception. Connecticut, based on the fact that it still is a fairly Roman Catholic state, barred contraception, barred condoms, barred diaphragms, barred contraception because it felt it was wrong. And the Supreme Court said, you know what, Connecticut, you have no right to decide what people do in their private lives. Rick Santorum thinks...
There's two questions here. The first is, was it an intelligent decision by the state of Connecticut to pass this particular piece of legislation? And I'm getting educated myself. I thought they had just banned the birth control pill. I didn't know it was all forms of contraception. And the answer is clearly that, you know, Connecticut was somehow living in some cuckoo caca dream world that...
It was 40 years ago.
...to the real world. The second question is, was the Supreme Court... Court's decision in Griswold correctly decided. Your listeners may recall that although Roe v. Wade is the particular decision that gets the most credit for having discovered this non-written right to privacy in the Constitution, it was really Griswold that first referenced the right to privacy, and it was decided on that. So for those people, like Senator Santorum, who are originalists and strict constructionists, who say that there is no particular explicit right to privacy in the Constitution, it would be a logical argument that Griswold was incorrectly decided.
Mike, do you think there's a right to privacy in the Constitution?
I don't think it's particularly prescribed in the Constitution. I think that it would be the amendment that specifically gives us a right to privacy.
Well, let me read to you from the Fourth Amendment, which is one of my favorites, and I think is the most clear expression of the right to privacy, though I also think it's in the Ninth. The Fourth Amendment says, and I quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause," and so forth. In other words, people have a right to be secure in their persons and in their houses. unless a crime has been committed and there's probable cause of that crime. It seems to me that, and I would also go into the Ninth Amendment, which says that we do retain certain rights from Great Britain. There's an old English concept that a man's home is his castle. And it seems to me if you're not harming anybody, you're not physically, you know, causing damage to someone, that right ought to be respected.
Well, Mark, I'm not going to equate contraception to illegal drugs. But clearly the amendment that you just read does not extend full force to a man's castle, because you don't have the right to be doing illegal drugs in your castle. That's been found again and again. So the question is, where do you draw the line?
I think the line with physical harm.
I think the Connecticut legislature inappropriately enacted this legislation. I think it doesn't pass the hoo-hoo-ha-ha laugh test.
Here, prosecutable. Angie Plato Lloyd.
It's brought to you by USA Freedom Corps and the Ad Council.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his... is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.ReaganCollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address ReaganCollection.com.
What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
Hello, good morning. How are you? It's your old pal, Porky, and you're listening to Your Memorial. Oh, forget it.
Everybody's a ham. Your morning with Jim Harrington and friends, Monday through Friday, right here.
Your morning, 6 to 10 Eastern.
Said I think he will be confirmed. But something did come out in the newspaper today that surprised me a bit. It said one of Roberts on the D.C. Court of Appeals, and there really aren't many, was his action to approve the military tribunals for the people who are imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay. And what's controversial is not so much that decision, but what happened the day before. Apparently, the day before rendering the decision, Roberts met with George W. Bush. Now, this was, you know, several months ago. This was before the Supreme, you know, before Senator Dale Conner had retired and all of that. And maybe they were just, you know, talking about the weather. I don't know. But I want to know if you agree with me, Mike, that the Democrats have a right to ask whether he discussed the case with George Bush before rendering his decision. And if he did, I have to say I think that's wrong on both the case of Bush and Roberts.
Mark, I'll shock you. I agree. It would be wholly inappropriate for any justice or judge who's reviewing a case that the administration is involved in to sit there and specifically discuss that particular case with any member of the administration, be it the president, the vice president, the secretary of defense, or anybody else in that chain of command. I think it's a legitimate question. I would hope that Judge Roberts is able to say that no, that was not the topic of conversation. In fact, we were talking about our kids or the weather or something like that, but it would not be an appropriate topic of conversation.
Well, Mike, we're agreeing too much. I'm just going to have to find someone more disagreeable than you. United States kidnapping them, sending them to foreign countries to be tortured, and Italy is seeking the criminal arrest of these six CIA agents, and guess what? I support Italy doing that. I want to know if you agree.
Well, Italy can do whatever it wants to do, and I'll support Italy doing it.
I think we should cooperate.
But I
think we should turn over
it. No.
The agents.
Part of the nature of being a covert operative is doing things that are covert that nobody knows about or that you don't want people to know about, and that...
Okay, but here's what they're accused of.
And that are probably frowned upon in the area in which you're doing it.
Only 30 seconds. Mike, here's what they're accused of. They're accused of grabbing people. If we're going to kidnap them, we should bring in the United States for trial, but we have no right to kidnap them, send them to foreign countries to be tortured. Can we agree on that?
Mark, war is hell. Sometimes you do things that aren't pretty, but you do it in an effort to win the war.
Well, I found a very strong, legitimate disagreement. Thank you, Mike, though, for coming here on the Inside Scoop. You're welcome back anytime.
I appreciate it, Mark.
Tomorrow, we've got a guest. We're going to talk about illegal immigrants, undocumented aliens. What is the problem? What is the solution? Can we deport them all? What's the cost? And then Thursday, divisions in the labor movement from someone high up in the AFL-CIO. Tune in all this week.
For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream.
Often they're the first ones in their family to do that. But for every child we help, there are thousands more who still need to be given that opportunity. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help these kids create a positive future instead of just dreaming about it. Call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
USA Radio Network News, Dennis Martin reporting. Something apparently fell off Space Shuttle Discovery when it was launched into space today. Operations Manager John Shannon said in one instance it appears...